You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Our weekly chat with Andrew Little is back. This week, Tuva'a chats with the Minister about the new health authority, Health New Zealand, as it ends its first week in operation. Here is that piece now.
Last week, on the 1st of July, the new nationwide public health system, which includes two entities, Health New Zealand and the Māori Health Authority, was officially introduced. How has the rollout of this gone so far? Has there been any unexpected challenges come up?
No, look, the work on this started some time ago, obviously. We got we put in boards about September last year. We got chief executives in place by the end of last year. So they've been doing a lot of the preparatory work so that by the time we got to last Friday, things were pretty much ready to go. But there's now another big chunk of work, which is taking over all the systems of the old DHBs and consolidating them and streamlining them. So that's going to take a wee while yet, but what it means is now there's, particularly with Health New Zealand, or Te Whatu Ora as it's now known, they can now, as a single organisation, as the employer of basically the whole public health workforce, can focus on the big challenge we have at the moment, which is filling the vacancies. Much easier for them to do that as one organisation than 20 different organisations all tripping over each other trying to recruit to fill the gaps that they've got. So we'll start to see the benefits of this pretty much straight away.
What are some of the examples of the advantages of Health New Zealand over the DHB system?
I think one thing is that when, as we're seeing at the moment, some hospitals coming under pressure, it means that it's easier to divert resources to hospitals that are under pressure from those that aren't feeling the same sort of pressure. I think the other thing too that I really expect to see, we know that one of the big complaints of the old DHB system is that there were sort of different standards of care or quality of care depending on where you were or which hospital you would go to. With the benefit of a nationwide system and with drawing on the best clinical leadership from across the system, we can really lift those clinical standards so that there shouldn't be a lot of difference and treatment that you get depending on which hospital you end up going to, even if it's a rural or regional hospital or it's a metropolitan hospital. The same standards of care should apply when you have, and we have got some incredibly talented people, senior clinicians and so on. They can really now set the standard right across the country as opposed to just within their DHB. What we found with the DHB system, people who did really interesting, new and good stuff, it was really hard to then migrate that out across the rest of the system. So we'll get greater consistency across the system as well.
Are there any overall job losses occurring during this change, or is there maybe a net job gain in the health sector?
I think there will be some job losses. We know some of the back office functions, if you're going from sort of 20 organisations all doing much the same thing to a single but larger organisation, you don't necessarily need all the people previously doing those back office functions that were there. So there may be some reductions in those sorts of roles, but I'm determined that whatever we save there will go straight into the front line. So we ought to see, more frontline clinical care roles as opposed to those back office functions. And that's not to say those back office functions aren't important. Of course they are. You've got big complex organisations like a hospital. You've got to have everything working, and people have got to be paid on time and all those sorts of things. But you don't have to do it 20 times over. You do it once. So we can free up resources and put them into healthcare as opposed to administration.
Now that these two health entities are established, what's the roadmap for them over the next year? What's that looking like?
Two main things. One is obviously consolidating a lot of these systems and processes so that we get we get consistency right across the country, and where we don't have to replicate things 20 times over, we just do it once. We do it from a single place or a single location. The next is the workforce stuff, and we know we've got a lot of vacancies across the health workforce. So really a consolidated effort to work on filling those vacancies and getting those up and running. I guess the other thing I would say is too, with the two entities now being sort of fully legally established and legally responsible for health services is establishing those relationships with the rest of the health sector, you know, other government departments, other health players, including private health entities, and getting those relationships set up. One of the important things, in addition to the sort of consolidation of functions and workforce, is clearing the backlog of planned care or elective surgery. And one of the best ways to do that will be good relationships with other health players, such as private hospitals and what have you. So those are probably three things I would say are top priority.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was Tuva'a speaking to Andrew Little.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.